Since we are waiting for this, and I got a few minutes, I was going to do this at the end of service just with us. But for about 6 weeks or so, a couple months, family has been visiting us, Justin and Aaron Duffy, and they're right over here. Duffy, right over here to my left, and their children, Barrett and Tatum. They placed membership with us, so we're glad to have them as part of our church family. So you guys stand so everybody can see who you are. I told Mike Kuba we finally have a member that can keep him under control. So, but we're glad to have them with us. And if you would, pray with me as we welcome them to our family. Father, we thank you for the Duffies and their placing membership with us here at Midway. We pray for their family, that you'll bless them as members here, that you'll be with us as we connect with them and try to encourage them and grow together as we follow Christ. We pray that you'll bless all of us as we live our lives that will put you first, and that you'll help us to grow in our faith. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Minute and 30.
Are you going to give me a thumbs up? I mean, not for my approval. Good morning. We're glad everyone is assembled here together, and we hope you're still connected with us online. We kind of had a few technical difficulties, but we are live. Welcome to the last worship day of 2020. And last night I was praying and just thinking of a word that could encapsulate 2020. And I thought of the word if. If only, if he, if they, if it, if. And it, when you start playing that game, you realize it's a never-ending game. And so I was praying about a word to replace if, and the word would be is. Just changing one letter. And we have a God who is in control. No matter what else is happening, no matter all the circumstances in our life, he is in charge, and he is the ruler of all the kingdom of his world that he's created. He is in charge of us. He is an awesome God. And that's who we are worshiping this morning. So thank you for your attendance here. And as Fritz said in his email, hopefully we're prayerfully considering 2021 will be a time where the church as a whole can be assembled more and more together the following year. Let's begin our worship together with a word of prayer and praise. Father, we thank you so very much for the opportunity that you give us to assemble under one roof, under one name. We want to worship you and extol your name above and praise your name above anything else that we give our attention and our praise to. Father, you are an awesome God, and we thank you so much for Jesus, whom you sent to be a sacrifice for our sins so that we can be reconnected with you and live in a pure life through his blood, through his body. And Father, we have a lot of things going through our hearts and our minds and of this past year that we've lived through, and you have brought us to this point for a reason, and you have undoubtedly wonderful plans ahead for us, ahead for your church, ahead for your body. And Father, help us to be mindful of those things where we just continue to walk with you under your guidance and under your care as you bring new things to us in 2021. And Father, as we close out our year with you, help us to be renewed, to be restored, to be recharged, to be rekindled, in our love for you and your son Jesus. And Father, help us to be challenged this morning through your word, and help us to be walk out of here different than when we came in, but all because of you and your power. Bless Russell as he encourages us through a message of your word. Help us to be attentive. Help us to give all of our hearts to you as we gather around the table, as we sing a song or two. And Father, as we just assemble together, help us to draw strength from one another as your spirit strengthens us this morning. We thank you for this wonderful year that we've had. We'll say it's wonderful because you're in charge. And we look forward to your many more blessings to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading this morning is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. Then I'm reading from the NIV version. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And he received honor and glory from the God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from the heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message that something completely reliable, that you will do well to pay attention to it, as to light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Good to see everyone here this morning. Isn't it good to be a Christian? A few weeks ago, I realized that we had put all the Christmas lights out and we had added some things. I had a bunch of new extension cords, and I started looking all over for one of these that I knew that I had, but I couldn't find it. So I looked in my shop, I looked in the attic, I looked all over the garage, and I couldn't find it. And so finally I went and bought two new ones. And I got home, got out of my truck, lifted up the garage, and as soon as I walked in the garage, there it was. How many times has that happened to you? You can't find something, you missed it, and as soon as you replace it, it's there. I missed it. In the message this morning, Peter's going to say, don't miss this. Make sure that you don't miss it. And we spend a lot of time trying to do things to make sure that we remember. And if you're married, sometimes your spouse may help you to remember things, right? I had a friend who's a doctor in Dallas that, when I was working up there, that one of his methods was to put things on the floor in the doorway so that he would remember them. So if he was working on something, he wanted to make sure he didn't forget to take it to the office, he would just lay it in the floor by the door. So his theory was you got to step over it to move it. That way you won't forget it. Peter has something he wants them to remember. He just said to them, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And we have these precious promises. And last week we talked about that his word is something that we need to hold on to and dig into and get in us. And then he says, as you become a Christian and as you grow, you've got to make sure that you progress. There's initial discipleship and progressive discipleship. And he said, add to your faith. And he talks about knowledge and goodness. And He takes them from one place, adding to their faith, to love. Add all these things. And the importance of additives. We use additives in food, spice it up. As Christians, we have to add these things. And then he tells them, make sure that you don't fall, that you stand strong. And he's going to take them from where we were last week, starting in verse 12, and he's going to tell them, make sure you're grounded in God's Word. And he's going to tell them, when it comes to God's Word, there's three responses that you have to make. You have to remember it. You have to receive it. And you have to revere it. And that's what we're going to look at today. And why is it so important to remember and receive and revere God's Word? It's important not only to Peter's audience back then, but it's important to us today because we live in a world where a lot of people aren't grounded in God's Word. We live in a culture that has become biblically illiterate in many ways. Barnum did a research study of people who profess to be Christians. These are people who profess to be Christians. 48% of them did not know the names of all four Gospels. 52% of them couldn't name two or three of the 12 disciples. About 60% could not name five of the 10 commandments. Over 65% thought that the Sermon on the Mount was delivered by Billy Graham. And over 70% thought that the classic phrase, God helps those who help themselves, was in the Bible. So there's a need for the world today and churches today to be more grounded in the Word. That's what Peter's after. Don't miss this. Don't miss the importance of the Word, because he knew false teachers were going to come in and they were going to claim things that weren't true, and he wanted them to be grounded. He also knew that somebody would come up and take them by the robe and say, Caesar is Lord, and they would have to say, no, Jesus is Lord. And if they were going to have the kind of faith to deal with the persecution they were going to deal with, they were going to have to be grounded in God's Word. We're seeing the results of kids that are growing up around us and they don't have faith later on because they're not grounded. Peter wants his audience, which includes us, which we'll see in a minute, to be deeply grounded in his Word. So if you got your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to 2 Peter 1, 12 through 21, and we're going to look at these three responses to God's Word. First of all, remember it. Verse 12. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth that you know how you now have. So we're talking about the Bible. We're talking about truth. How do you respond to truth? He says, it's no problem for me to remind you of these things. You know them, and you're firmly established in them, but I'm going to keep reminding you so that you don't forget. This sermon this morning, your retention of what I say is going to probably be less than 40%. Your attention span is 10 to 20 minutes, depending on who you are. Sometimes I can tell. But the more that you take in, the more you hear, the more you see, the more you take notes, the more you reflect on it later in the week, the more you're going to retain. Peter knew that. And so he would remind them over and over again. It's fascinating to me. Here's Peter, who walked with Jesus, who did all the things he did, and he's sharing with them. And one thing he says is, make sure that you remember what I've told you, because it's what firmly establishes you. It's what gives you grounding. I want you to be grounded. And in order to do that, you got to remember the Word. The Word that you read and the Word that is spoken to you, remember it. Peter shows us three things in his response. When he's talking about God's Word, he said, I want you to know that I have seen it, I've heard it, and I've read it. That was his experience. When we look into Scripture, we need to see it and hear it. And we need to read it. Then in verse 13, he says, I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. So he looked at his body as a tent. You ever lived in a tent? I spent weeks and weeks in a tent. And if you stay in a tent very long, one thing you want to do for sure is go home, right? You want to be in your permanent place. Tents, they wear out, especially in the old days. They would get smelly and stinky. And probably a good illustration, as we grow older, we get leaky and stuff happens and we're not what we used to be, right? I didn't mean that literally. I meant that figuratively. Boy, that was a rabbit hole. All right. Anyway, go ahead, laugh it up. It's on tape forever. Anyway, you get what I'm saying, right? Yeah, we'll never forget. You remember the place of humor. All right. Because I know I will soon put it aside. Jesus has told him, hey, when you get older, you're going to die. So Peter knew in the book of Acts, when he was facing all this stuff, it wasn't his time yet. They put him in prison. He's singing. He's okay because he knows Jesus said, I'm not going to go until I'm older. Now he's older. Now he knows his time is close. And the passion he has is to remind them of the very things that will keep them steady when the storms of life come. What's kept you steady in 2020? God's Word's kept me steady. He says in verse 15, it was finished 14, as the Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me, I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. He said, I want to stir you guys up and bring remembrance to you. And even after I'm gone, I want to make sure you know. And we got 1 Peter and we've got 2 Peter and we got the Gospel of Mark, which Peter influenced. And he left his legacy of faith behind. He did what he said he was going to do. He left things for them to remember. It's important for us to remember and to know God's Word. It's important for us to put it in front of us. I love it when I go to somebody's house and they got Scripture plaques and stuff around on the walls, because it reminds you. Very first thing I saw when I went in my grandmother's house was an embroidered framed picture of Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your steps. Every time you walked in the door, there it was. It still burned in my mind. And sometimes when I go through difficulties, I see that. Live your faith out loud. Let people know what you believe. I'm not a bumper sticker person. I don't have any stickers on my car. That's just the way I am. But do I do things to remind me of Scripture, and do I do things to cause people to be attracted to the Word? And the more I think about this, the more I think maybe we should get back to some of those kind of things. You see Justin's, not this Justin, other Justin's truck. He's got a license plate that says, not ashamed. And in his back seat, he's got Bibles and books. And when people ask him about his plate, he'll ask them if they have a Bible, and he'll give them a Bible. He's living his faith out loud. Everybody's got a find their way of comfortability with doing that, but do you, but do something. And do things to remind you of Scripture. When you hear a Scripture, when I preach a sermon and you hear a Scripture and you say, oh man, that's good. Write it down on a 3x5 card and stick it in your car and look at it and memorize it. I tell kids, teenagers, take your Bible, put it on your pillow, and you got to move it when you go to bed. Read it. Do things that make you remember to put this word in your heart. That's how you get a solid foundation. He's saying, I want you to know and remember the truth, because the world is going to lie to you. The world is going to give you fake news. The world is going to tell you things that aren't true. Satan's going to be all over you to kill, steal, and destroy your soul. And you need to have a firm foundation. And if you don't remember the right things, you're going to go the wrong direction. Remember this word. Don't have a dusty Bible on a coffee table. Pick it up and lay it in your heart, because it's what will save you. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write to you the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. He's saying, it's no trouble for me to remind you. One translation says, it's not tedious for me to remind you. And you know it's not a problem for me to remind you of stuff. I repeat stuff, right? But that's the sign of a good preacher. That's what all this is about, right? So, but it is a safeguard to you. I'm reminding you because this will keep you safe. And then he goes on talking about these false teachers that are dogs and stuff like that. You can't read the New Testament and come away from it without realizing there is a lot of falsehood and untruth and false teachers and things to be aware of. But if you know the truth, that's a safeguard to you. Back in the old days, when they tested counterfeit money, they got people that knew what the money, real money, looked like. They didn't train them to look at the counterfeit stuff. They trained them to look at the real thing. And they knew the real thing so well, if something counterfeit came along, they knew it. Peter says, remember this word. Paul says, it's a safeguard to you. It keeps you safe. But you got to remember it. Spend time in it. Know it. Don't forget it. I had coaches, I had karate instructors that were telling me the same stuff over and over again. I never turned to them and said, quit telling me that. They were reminding me of things that I knew I needed to remember. Open your heart up to God's Word. Don't just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and say, I've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, never read it again. Read it again. One of the coolest things during this whole COVID time is some of the study that I've done in some old, simple things that have refreshed and renewed my heart. And I've studied Scripture for a long time, but new things are coming up that are making me fall more deeply in love with God, and that's cool to me. Because my tent's getting old, right? And it's refreshing. And once you get into it, you can't put it down. Instead of being so fixated on the next episode of Netflix, be fixated about what's next in this for you. But you got to remember it. Lay it up in your heart. Continue to expose yourself to it. And God will do marvelous things. And then he says, you got to receive it. Listen to what he says starting in verse 16. For we do not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of the Lord Jesus and the power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, and we received honor and glory from the Father when the voice came to him from his majestic glory, saying, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. For we ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on that sacred mountain. He said, not only remember it, but receive it as reliable. Because it's not some invented story. It comes from an eyewitness. It comes from someone who experienced it. And it wasn't just himself that experienced it. He experienced it with other people. And he's talking about the mountain of transfiguration. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up this mountain, and Moses and Elijah are there. And he saw the transfiguration, and so did the other witnesses. He's telling his audience then, you can trust that what you have, the false teachers are going to come. They're going to tell you it's not true. But remember, we are eyewitnesses of this account, and that makes it reliable. Because I saw it, and we heard the voice come out of the heavens and say, this is my Son, whom I love. With Him I'm well pleased. And in the Gospels it says, listen to Him. In the old times it was Moses in the law and Elijah the prophet. But now it reminds you of Hebrews chapter 1. He has spoken to us through His Son. But it's based on what we have in God's Word is based on eyewitness testimony. Peter was a fisherman. Let me tell you a quick fish story. Ronnie has a pond behind his house and he was wanting to get some catfish out of it. So I was excited about that. So I went over. And the very first time I was over there and I cast out, something hit my line and broke it. And I thought, wow, I had a big one and it got away. And then I see the floater floating across back and forth on the pond. And I think, well, if I can get a hook on that bobber, I can pull it in. It might just be the bobber. It might have a fish on it. So I put a hook on it, cast it out, and I caught that bobber and I pulled it in and it was a 7-8 pound catfish. The one that got away didn't get away, right? And Ronnie was there as a witness. Reliable witness. And he said something to the effect of, I don't know if I'd believe that unless I saw it, kind of thing. It was one of those weird deals that happened, right? That if you weren't there, you might not believe it. Oh, that's just a fish story. Russell's telling a fish story. No, it really happened. And we got photographs and we have things that substantiate it. God's Word is reliable. It's substantiated. He's saying, look, this is an eyewitness account. Take it in. Receive it. When you really want something, you take it with both hands, don't you? If you go to my house and you lay some rolls on the island in the middle of our kitchen and you just wait a while, you can walk in later and Kendall will be in the kitchen with rolls in both hands. I'm serious. If it's bacon or rolls, it will be in both hands. And he's eaten that, right? Brendan has a friend who made some Christmas goodies. And he brings this thing in and he's in the kitchen with those cookies, both hands. Ava's eating fruit or something, both hands. We experienced that this Christmas, didn't we? When we were opening presents, when Ava was opening her presents, both hands. And then she would see us get a gift and she would say, can I help you open yours? She was opening everybody's presents with both hands. When you really get excited about something and you want something, you use both hands. I had coaches say, catch the ball with both hands. Peter's saying, eagerly get into this account with both hands. And the Bereans were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with what? Great eagerness. Both hands. And examined the Scriptures every day to make sure what they were being taught was true. Sometimes I hear people quote that passage and say, examine the Scriptures to make sure what they're being taught was true, and they forget the first part. Receive the Word with readiness. How eager are you? I could tell you stories about people that were in prison and concentration in communist prison camps that found out that the Bible was being used in the latrines, and they would sign up for latrine duty so they could get the Bible and read it to sustain them through their encampment. How eager do you have to be? How eager are we to get God's word. He's saying, look, receive it with both hands. Have that eagerness. When we first became Christians, maybe we had an eagerness that we don't have now. Renew your eagerness. No better time than right now before the new year comes. Make a plan to dig more into God's word. Are you receiving it with both hands? When you come to church and the message is, are you concerned about the time? Are you concerned about other things? Or do you receive the word with readiness? That's a matter of your heart. Nobody else can control that but you. And then he says, revere it. He says in verse 19, we also have this prophetic message as something completely reliable that you will do well to pay attention to, as a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by a prophet's own interpretation of things, for prophecy can never have its origin in human will, but the prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. He said, revere it because it's God's word. Peter said, look, we have something more certain. I saw it, I heard it, but I also read it. The prophets told us what was going to happen and what was going to come, and their word is even more certain. We have this word. Do you revere it as God's word? He says, we have the words of the prophets made more certain. And you can apply it to all of Scripture. Here he's talking about the prophets were making... A prophet was both a predictor of what was going to happen and a proclaimer of God's word. And all of that is included. But what's remarkable is over 300 prophecies were made about Jesus, like arrows shot into the sky, talking about Jesus Christ, thousands of years before Jesus ever came on the scene. And Jesus fulfilled all those prophecies with perfection. Once a magazine asked movie stars, pro sports stars, political figures to make a prediction about what was going to happen in the next 6 months. They asked 61 people. They all made predictions about what was going to happen in the next 6 months. Guess how many predictions came true? Zero. Guess how many prophecies Jesus fulfilled? Every single one perfectly. But it's interesting, and I'm reminding you of this because I've told you this before, but Peter Stoner, in a book called Science Speaks, was talking about the probabilities of just 8 of these prophecies that were foretold about Jesus for one person to fulfill them perfectly. What was the probability of that? And he said it's 1 to the 17th power, which is a 1 with 17 zeros behind it. And to illustrate that, he said, if you took a silver dollars to represent that number, you could fill the state of Texas 2 feet deep. If you blindfolded a person and sent them out to get one silver dollar that was marked specifically, that would be the probability of Jesus fulfilling 8 of those. And he didn't fulfill just 8. He fulfilled them all. It blows my mind. And we have evidence, archaeological evidence, scientific foreknowledge, fulfilled prophecy, manuscript evidence, all kinds of evidence that says what we have is reliable and true. It is the Word of God. And Peter said, we have the Word of the prophets made more certain as a light shining in the darkness. Revere God's word. This is God's letter to you. Revere it. Respect its authority because it is inspired. He says, the scripture came about not by a prophet's own interpretation. And maybe that's a little bit of the not best translation, because really what it means is it's not from the prophet's origin. It didn't come from them. It came from God. And he says, they were moved along by the Holy Spirit. Or the translation that I read from said, carried along by the Holy Spirit. And it's a nautical term that means you got a boat, you put the sails up, and the wind gets behind those sails and it pushes it along. The Holy Spirit moved them along. But their own personalities and their own abilities and gifts were from them. Paul wrote like Paul wrote. Peter wrote like Peter wrote. John wrote like John wrote. But the Holy Spirit is the one that carried them along, moved them along. This message is from God. Accept it that way. And we have in Timothy also the idea of the inspiration of Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration and of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely and thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's Word is authoritative. But did you know that only 1 out of 10 Americans read their Bible every day? Are you the one? Or are you part of the 9? That's the question. Change that. I mean, if I was to ask, when I was growing up, I mean, every single time a Bible class teacher walked into class, who read their Bible every day this week? We made sure we read the Bible because we didn't want to not stick our hand up, right? What gets appreciated gets done. What if we did that every morning? Isn't it great to be a Christian? Who read their Bible every day this week? Are you the one or are you part of the 9? Bible study is worth it. It will transform you. It will keep you in the light. It will keep you on the right path. This text that I looked at this morning is packed full of stuff. I hit the things that I wanted to hit to stir you up to get in more into God's Word. I had something that stirred me up. On Christmas Eve, one of my presents was this. I don't know if you've seen this or not. Fingerprint of God. It represents a thumb. It's got 66 lines. Every line is a different scripture. My mother-in-law gave this to me. And I sat there just marveling at it, right? And it's all lines and they're all squiggly. And if you look at it, it kind of makes you kind of, you know, googly. And I thought maybe she did this on purpose to keep me preoccupied. But I wanted to know, okay, what song of song did he pick, right? What scripture from Proverbs did he pick? One verse and just the name and the chapter. Okay, so like Jude 2 or 1 John, just the chapter, not the verse, which drove me nuts, right? So then I had to go figure out every single one what verse it was. But I was looking at this and I was thinking, how amazing God is. And I was, this whole thing was in my mind as I was driving home from Alvin to home, and I was thinking, that's such a cool present. And it's a gift from God. His Word is a gift to us. And I was thinking, isn't it cool? He didn't just give us 66. He gave us the whole thing. And then I was passing by business establishments where people were there to maybe get a drink to deal with their troubles. And fireworks stands. And just thinking about the world that's in darkness, that needs light. And He's given it to us. And if you obviously be hanging up in my office, when you don't have any germs, you can come in there and look at it. I'm just kidding. But what is God's Word valuable to you, and do you live like it? God's written you a letter. And don't get me wrong, we don't worship the Bible. We worship the God of the Bible. The Bible is to get us to the Father, to the Son. It is to help us. We don't just live by rules. We live by relationship. The Bible is to get us into a deeper relationship with God. If you're reading the Bible and you begin to worship the Bible, you're in the wrong place. That's what the Pharisees did. You read God's Word to get closer to God. May 2021 be that year for you. I remember as a teenager just deciding when I was 16 years old, I'm going to read the Bible through. Every day at lunch, I read 3 to 5 chapters. My whole spiritual world was turned upside down because I made that simple commitment. And then I became a youth minister and I watched kids who made that commitment and I saw their lives change. You want your spiritual life to be different? I mean, I hope we get a vaccine, but there's something more important than all of that. It's God's Word in you and the way you respond to it. Remember it. Receive it with both hands and revere it. It's God's Word. Maybe you need to begin the journey this morning by being baptized. Maybe there's something else we can help you with. May we put God first as we sing.
Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength. Changing me and changing you, we have come with open heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Changing me and changing you, we have come with open heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. We have come with open heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Mm-hmm. beams around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the
This morning, as we prepare our minds to partake of the Lord's Supper, let us clear those minds and remember Christ. Remember his life, his example, his death. But let us also remember and focus on the meaning of the emblems which he left us with to remember his life. The bread, which represents his body, which was beaten, abused, and crushed for our sake, but also because of our sin. Let us remember the fruit, which represents his blood, which was shed in a violent fashion, again, for our sake, but because of our sin. But let us rejoice in that same blood that was spilled. That is the same blood that cleanses us from that sin. So let us reflect on those things as we partake. Let us pray. Father, we come before you thanking you for your Son, thanking you for his life, his example. Father, as we prepare ourselves to partake of this bread, let us reflect on Christ, Father, and remember what he has done for us. In Christ's name, amen. Now let us give thanks for the cup. Father, we continue our thanksgiving prayer unto you, again thanking you for Christ, thanking you for the door of salvation that he has opened to us. Father, we thank you that Christ was willing to suffer in our place. We thank you for the blood that he shed, which covers us from our sins. We pray that we remember that as we partake of this cup. In Christ's name, amen. That concludes the Lord's Supper. At this time, we would like to give thanks for the continuing contribution that we have been receiving. We would like to give thanks to that the work here has and will continue into the future. Father, we come before you. We thank you because we know that all that we have comes from you. We have been blessed, Father, beyond what we can express. Father, we pray now that as we give back a portion of what you have blessed us with, that we will do so with a proper mind and a proper heart and with thanksgiving. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. That concludes the online services. Thank you.